This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Dude, there might be Pettycast leftovers for later in the show today. There's a lot of Petty out there right now, man. We do the Pettycast here on Payne and Pendergast every Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Get our Petties out there, Petties of others out there. And they're, boy, Yankee fans, man. Yankee fan, he was with you for a year, Yankee fans. This is not a long-term, this is not a 20-year marriage that he's cheating on you.
It's Juan Soto. I was honestly astounded at the level of vitriol that Yankees fans had for Juan Soto because of the sheer hypocrisy of Yankees fans acting like somebody leaving for the most money is an awful thing that a human being would do when their team has done this for decades and decades and decades. I didn't think, as low as I think of Yankees fans, I didn't think they have this low a level of self-awareness.
We're going to play it in a second. We're going to play Nick Tuturo, who is the face of angry Yankee fans, here in a second. We got two cuts from Nick that we're going to play here in the Pettycast as we welcome you into the 8 o'clock hour on Payne and Pendergast. Do you think that the Mets being the place he's going, how much is playing into that? Would we be, because I think we're talking about, let's do this. We'll assess this whole thing after we play the audio, because I've got an Astro analogy here I want to make, a hypothetical, and see if you agree or disagree. Here was Nick Tuturo, noted actor from back in the day, and probably more famous now for being a Yankee fan on social media at the angriest moments for Yankee fans. This was him going insane the day that the Juan Soto signing was announced.
Hey, Juan Soto, I got two words for you. F*** you. That's right. F*** you and the horse you rode in on and the cavalry behind you. That's right, motherfucker. Yeah, I'm taking it personal. We gave you our love. We gave you our f***ing heart and soul. It wasn't enough. You turned your cap around after the World Series. I saw that f***ing move. 700 million, 730. Yeah, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Guaranteed years, it wasn't enough. You don't even choose the Dodgers. You don't even choose the Dodgers. You go off Broadway to the Mets. You don't want to be on Broadway. And you don't want to be Judge's guy. You don't want to be Judge's partner. Oh, that's right, Judge. Now it's your team. That's it. Let's stick it up his f***ing ass. That's right. Let's go out. Let's get Burns, Freed, Bregman. Let's f***ing Teoscar. I don't give a f***. Now we're not f***ing around. Take those f***ing grungy, whatever those f***ing, oh, those stupid Mets. F*** them.
Okay. He broke something at the end. Might have been his brain. I don't know. My favorite parts of that, now all of a sudden he wants Bregman. I'm guessing there's some videos of old Nicky out there talking about the cheating Astros. That's number one. Number two, it's Judge's team now. Have fun with that OPS in the postseason, man.
I know. That's the craziest thing. It's hilarious. The delusion of Yankees fans acting like, oh, you lost your shot at a World Series. All right, I don't know. You take the Mets and put Juan Soto on them last year. You take the Yankees and take Juan Soto off of them. I think the Mets are a better team. And they know, the Mets know that Juan Soto is capable of showing up in the postseason.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge is horrendous in the postseason. How would Tuturo be dumb enough to even bring up Aaron Judge's name in the involving anything postseason? He's awful in the postseason.
He's terrible. Let me ask you this, and then I've got an audio from a call. We got more Nick Tuturo, but we got other petties to get to. We'll play the other Nick Tuturo stuff later in the show before it ends, because he's had a day to think about it, and I'll let you guys guess whether or not he's still angry about the whole thing. This was a WFAN caller calling yesterday to Tiki and Tierney. and says this. This is a Yankee fan calling about Juan Soto.
When Soto was with the Washington Nationals, he was half the size he is now. It's very, very obvious the guy's a juicer.
Oh,
so he's going to be just like Robbie Cano. He's going to get the big money. He's going to stop taking the steroids. He had the most home runs this year he ever had. And once he stops taking the steroids, he's going to lose weight and he's going to get a lot of injuries, and that's going to be an albatross around there.
Okay. So now he's a juicer. Now that he's not on the Yankees anymore, he's
now
a
that
juicer.
It has nothing. Him getting bigger over the course of time has nothing to do with the fact that he was 19 years old his rookie year.
Right.
Like, that's – I like – listen, I'll listen to steroid conspiracy theories whenever, but when a 19-year-old, like every single 19-year-old in history does over time with exercise and proper nutrition, they get bigger and stronger. Really up until, up into your 30s, you can keep getting bigger and stronger. Yeah, sorry, you can save it, dumbass.
And I'll credit Tiki and Tierney. Brandon Tierney said that. He's like, dude, he was 21 when he was on the National. He's still a kid.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, and then we'll move on to the other petties that we've got here, the ones we can get to. Man, there's a lot. How much of this, the anger from Yankee fans, do you think has to do with where he's going? That he's going. We heard Turo say, you're going off Broadway now. And would Astro fans, what team would Alex Bregman have to go to for Astro fans to get as angry as Nick Turo is? Like, if he went to the Rangers, is it a different tone among Astro fans with Bregman leaving? Then I guess not. I mean, the Yankees are probably just as he's going to end up going to the Yankees or the Red Sox if he leaves here. So
No, I think with the Cowboys and the Yankees, those are the two teams in sports that they feel like they've got big bro status.
Yeah,
like they think that they're just. And the Lakers are like this.
Definitely.
Where they feel like somehow 22-year-olds care as much about what us old dudes care about when it comes to just everything that happened in the 90s. It's just different.
So do you think that Turo is even, like, the Yankee fans are even angrier? Like, the main anger is that he's going to the Mets?
I think it feels
leaving?
A little bit. Yeah, and it's not because it threatens their view of the world.
Yeah.
And even
if
it threatens your view of the world.
Yeah.
Creates the biggest irrational response. Yeah. And in their minds, like, wait, no, we're the big brother here.
Yep.
Like, how on earth are you doing that? Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, we'll keep it moving. Petty, Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown, are they beefing? Is there beefing going on in Philadelphia right now? This is after a win. Now, granted, it was a win that probably should have been a loss if Xavier Leggett could have caught a football.
Win that almost cost some billionaire $3
million. Yeah,
Almost. Or a game that almost cost a billionaire $3
million. Yeah, $3 million money line
bet. The money line for the Eagles to win.
Yep, he would have profited $400,000. He did profit $400,000. Man, a lot closer than he thought it would be, obviously. Here was A.J. Brown after the game being asked what needs to improve on the offense.
What are some things you think that the offense needs to improve on?
Passing.
Passing, he said. That was it. One word answer. What do you think the offense needs to improve on? Passing. So that turned into a big thing up in Philly. Again, this is on the heels of a 9-game winning streak. They're having issues on offense right now. Brandon Graham went on WIP. Brandon Graham, longtime defensive end for the Eagles. Went on WIP and confirmed there is beef going on right now between number one, calls him one, Jalen Hurts, and number 11, A.J. Brown.
The person that's complaining need to be accountable. And I'm just being honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he noticed. I don't know the whole story, but I know that one is trying. And, I mean, 11 could be a little better with how he responds to things. And they was friends before this. It's like, man, but things have changed, and I understand that because life happens.
That's extreme level dishing for
he is on
a defensive lineman on his
Brandon,
own teammates.
Brandon Graham is on the team still, by the way. He's an older player.
Right.
This is not a retired player commenting observationally.
This feels so much like back in the days of Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens, when even remember at that point, the defensive lineman who used to be in the 4-point stance, he was the badassiter of, I can't think of his name.
I won't be able to guess this one.
He spoke out about it, kind of criticized Terrell Owens. He had recently retired, but he was still involved with the team.
Okay.
Was it Hugh Douglas? I think it was Hugh Douglas, yeah. Hugh Douglas, like, it feels a little bit like that, except that Hugh Douglas wasn't on the team anymore. But Hugh Douglas criticized Terrell Owens back then when they were having that drama.
Yeah, it's funny. Both Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens have weighed in on this. Donovan McNabb on A.J. Brown's potential frustrations with Jalen Hurts. It's two grown men. This is WIP tweeting this out. It's two grown men. If you got an issue, you come to me. Let's not go to the media because it blows up. And now what you said is out there in front of everybody. Well, guess who responded to that? Terrell Owens retweets that and says, now this is interesting coming from you, Donovan. Not how I interpreted it, but funny thing is, I agree with you on the idea if you have an issue with someone that you go to them and not the media. But here's the thing, I never had an issue with you, but it's known that you had an issue with me. So, I mean, this is the definition of petty. This is 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You had an issue with me, so maybe you should have taken your advice here. Oh, yeah. And we might have won Super Bowl 39, but that's another story for another day. Just my two cents. You gave yours, I'm giving mine. Hey, at F. Mitchell, Freddie Mitchell, 84, thanks for sharing. So I guess Freddie Mitchell brought it to Terrell Owens' attention that Donovan was talking about this whole thing. That's petty as hell, man. I love that.
Terrell Owens, I guess that's the last guy. A.J. Brown probably doesn't want Terrell Owens jumping in on his side. Terrell Owens had a track record of various people having issues with him or teammates. It's like, okay, I'm not going to sit here and act like Donovan McNabb was the only Donovan McNabb must have been the bad guy in that situation.
And Terrell Owens might have been the greatest receiver of that era, if not second behind Randy Moss. Mm-hmm. He was on like six different teams.
Yeah.
You know, like he had a shelf life everywhere he went, Terrell Owens.
Speaking of guys on different teams, Brandon Cooks, big moment for him last night.
I didn't get to see much of the game. We were traveling home from Pittsburgh.
He had I'll send the clip to you.
Okay. Yeah. He had a big moment.
I was curious about, you know, because the NFL's cracking down on any kind of weaponry in a celebration.
Yeah.
So we've seen Nico does it. He still does like kind of the shotgun or whatever. Yeah. But you got to do something with your fingers to make it look like you're not pulling a trigger.
Right, right.
That's the equivalent of putting an orange cap on the water pistol.
Exactly.
So yeah. Brandon noticed he was doing the archer looks a little bit different.
It does. Okay. All right.
Maybe you just can't let the arrow fly. You can make the arching motion.
Right.
But you can't look like you're shooting a seagull out of the sky.
What are we doing? What are we legislating here?
You're a Roman warrior.
Here was Tom Brady and Gronk. They were on with Kurt Menefee. Julian Edelman is on the set as well. The three of them are having a conversation with Fox's Kurt Menefee about Belichick and they were asked about Belichick interviewing for college football coaching jobs and what they thought of that.
Belichick is actually interviewing for college jobs? Can you imagine him coaching college?
No.
Absolutely not. Can you recruiting an 18-year-old?
You really want to come here? I mean, we don't really want you anyway, but I mean, I guess you could come. We'll figure out if you play.
If you bring your parents and use them as a third party, you're gone. You're off the team. We're direct.
Some scar tissue built up here among these guys.
Okay, so Gronk is weighing in at the end about using like agents and things like that. Like Belichick would not want that. Brady kind of echoed what Ross Tucker said earlier in the show. If you missed it, Ross Tucker, we asked him about this. Ross Tucker had a hilarious answer about Belichick coaching in college, but Brady was kind of gave the abridged version of that answer, which is, if you want to come here, you know, okay, I guess, you know. Like,
all right. Now, Saban's a guy who is a very, very good recruiter, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Much different than his personality as a coach or what have you.
Yep.
I don't know if Belichick's got that in his bag the way that Saban did. If you're not, you know, Saban and Belichick have probably very similar core personalities, but then Saban spent so many years as a college coach that he was able to refine that recruiting style. I don't know if it can an old dog learn new tricks at this age, or does he even want to?
Well, and again, as you pointed out earlier, like that's a different era that Saban was doing the recruiting in. You know, that was pre-NIL.
He left specifically because that kind of pitch doesn't work. Like trying to sell paper newspapers to a 19-year-old these days. It's a great pitch.
Yeah.
Might work on me.
Yep.
Not going to work on a 19-year-old these days, most likely.
Nope. Here's Aaron Rodgers, as we continue with the Pettycast, being asked to reflect on the Jets' 14 years of missing the playoffs.
This organization now, it's 14 straight years without making the playoffs. That's almost hard to do.
What's the question?
Well, can you reflect on that and just why?
I mean, I've been here. I've started 1 year, so
right.
I'm a part of it for 1 year. It's disappointing.
Okay. Get to the question, buddy. Hey, get to the question.
Yeah, what is the question?
If we know the question is going to be negative, people do not like laying out all the numbers that go with it. You know, like, so your offense last week had 210 yards for the whole game, and you turned the ball over four times. There are a lot of coaches just, yeah, what's the question? I know all the numbers. What's the question?
Yeah. I don't need the preface, man.
Right. By the way, real Aaron quick, Rodgers, text in with your petties, 713-572-4610. We'll read some of them.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers is playing football next year, is he?
Really? You think he's going to retire? Well, I don't know that
he did some good things in this game that looked more like vintage Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
I just don't know, man. I feel like somewhere along the way, we kind of collectively started thinking that, oh, yeah, sure, quarterbacks play into their 40s. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
It's still the rare exception that a guy is really effective in his 40s as a quarterback.
Agreed. Yeah. No,
especially after Achilles tendon surgery.
Yes.
I think that's going to be the one big thing is that in his mind, and I totally get this, in his mind, he'll be thinking, all right, well, look, I didn't want to admit it to myself, but the Achilles was probably a way bigger deal than I'd thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Next year will be different.
There's someone pointing out on the text page, Belichick, that the college age...
His girlfriend?
The ladies are in his age range. Yeah.
His
fair
current
point.
Girlfriend is what, 20? Is she a grad student yet, or is she still an undergrad?
She was. I've seen her age. When they first started dating, I'd seen it reported as 23 and 24.
Okay, so she's probably a grad student if she's still in school.
Hey, by the way, real quick, did you happen to see Deshaun Watson posted an Instagram story yesterday of him and Jilly clearly sitting somewhere warm? I listened in on Cleveland this morning. They think it's in L.A. He's probably got a house in L.A. on the water out there. It's in front of a body of water. They're eating what I'm assuming is some very expensive pasta.
It looks like expensive rigatoni.
She's just having a time of her life there, like raising her arms and going, oh, this is so nice.
Oh, I didn't even see there was a video. I just saw the still frame.
The video, they post somebody, one of those aggregators, one of the Dove Climans of the world, posted the full video of the Instagram story.
Is Deshaun in it?
Deshaun's not in it. It looks like Deshaun might be filming it, though. You know, because whoever's filming it is sitting above the first plate of pasta and then pans over to Jilly, who could not be more psyched to be sitting during week 14 of the NFL season somewhere other than Cleveland. She looked very excited. I tweeted this. I retweeted that video, and I said, two things Deshaun has a hard time reading. Defenses and the room.
I know. So the and then it's a short week this week too because they played
they played the Steelers.
And then they've got the Chiefs this week. So of all the hey Deshaun, maybe you can be around and come, you know, help out and, you know, the help with the quarterbacks, help game plan versus the Chiefs game this Sunday.
Sorry, I got an appointment with a bowl of rigatoni and my girlfriend over a nice body of water. Sorry, I won't be there. Dude.
Yeah, it's a damn shame.
230 million.
Damn shame.
230 million. Dude's tweeting this stuff out in week 14.
Okay, who's more likely to play meaningful? Who plays more meaningful NFL games in the next decade, Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson?
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers. I think he actually wants to play football. I don't know
you
that Deshaun
Watson is completely done.
Yeah.
Whenever they figure out how to extricate him from that Browns
Who would
situation.
You rather have, Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson, if you're an NFL
team? Oh, I'd rather have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I would take the upside on a 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
Over a broken Deshaun?
I would.
I would, too. All right, Miami week has begun. Who exactly are these Dolphins? The record is 6-7, but who are they? We will discuss that coming up next.